Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Montega, welcome to today's earnings call of the Elevane Group following the publication of the Q3 figures of 2023. The CEO, Modesta Sutil, and the CFO, Maris Kreis, will give you a presentation on the results in a moment, and the floor will be opened for upcoming questions following the presentation. We apologize for the slight delay and look forward to the presentation. With this, I hand over to you, Modestas.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome everyone who has joined the Elevane Group's presentation of 9 months earnings. As already mentioned, I'm Modestas Sutil, CEO of the company, and together with me today, we also have our Chief Financial Officer, Maris Kreis. So today, we'll focus on three main topics, three main presentation topics. First of all, as always, financial results and trends, which we have observed as a company over the last 9 months. Then we'll look into key business developments. This will be the first reporting quarter when we show recently obtained businesses in our books already. So we'll show how they've been performing. Also, we'll share latest update on our dev stack development. As most of you probably already aware, that just a few weeks ago, we have issued a new 50 million euro bond. So we will share more information on that and how the debt maturities and debt stack changed afterwards. But now let's jump into the presentation. Let's go to slide number 4, operational highlights. Looking on to the graphs on the top, Elevane Group's revenue development over last 9 months or first 9 months of this year. So our revenue has reached 142.5 million euros, which is up close by close to 3% up compared to a respective period in last year. Main increase here comes from already mentioned newly obtained Express Credit business, which in the third quarter has contributed 5.4 million euros of revenue, and actually had already the first positive quarter since it was in Elevane books, and it has recorded half a million comprehensive profit. So far, still core focus here is integrating newly acquired business in our infrastructure, which is still ongoing, as well as new product development. However, we already see improvements in cost base coming through optimized admin expenses, as well as slowly decreasing cost of financing. Apart from that, revenue development in other parts of the business was relatively stable and have not changed much. If we look at the net loan portfolio development, here we are back to a calculated growth stage. Before third quarter this year, we saw that in previous four quarters in a row, portfolio was relatively stable at around 190, 195 million euros. However, in third quarter, it went up to 327 million euros. Partially, it's due to newly obtained markets, but also I could rejoice that organic growth both in consumer and vehicle finance portfolios was also rather solid. Overall portfolio grew by 11% quarter over quarter. And looking at growth without obtained businesses, it grew still solid 2.8% over quarter. And all of that is organic growth, which is spread across majority of our group markets and products. What I also want to mention here that it was not achieved through changing underwriting policies. We're still on a relatively conservative level here, and then actually main result comes in increase in demand for Elevane products, which we'll show in more detail in following slides. Also worth mentioning that we do expect similar growth trends in our products across fourth quarter as well, and hopefully that will help to reach total revenue for the year of like around 200 million euros for this year. Looking at our developments, we continue developing our e-mobility products, financing electric motorcycles in Kenya have been growing quarter-over-quarter. So far, we have slightly more than 250 units financed, and we're also launching a similar initiative in Uganda. We do see that demand is there, and so far, biggest issues are related to the supply of electric motorcycles, but we're a part of multiple initiatives here, and we do believe that that problem will be solved soon, and we can demonstrate even more significant growth in upcoming months. Also, we have for our car sharing business which we're doing in Riga, Latvia, we received a local loan from local bank in the amount of 2.8 million. All that loan will be used to scale up our fleet to approximately 200 Tesla cars. Moving forward to the next slide, our global scope. So this is also first time when we show portfolio split with already newly acquired markets. Consumer finance grew from previously around 25% to 30.6%, but secure financing still is majority of overall split of almost 70% in overall net loan portfolio, and split between leasing and leaseback products and flexible lease and subscription-based products remained almost unchanged. And if we would look at split between the countries, here also was no significant deviations or changes. Overall portfolio is still very well diversified between markets and products, and majority of markets are growing at a similar pace. If we move forward to non-financial KPIs, this is a good place to discuss and to present changes in demand for our product. As already mentioned, in third quarter, we see a strong rebound in customer spendings, as well as further growth in demand for our products. On the vehicle finance side, it can be well represented by number of applications received, which grew by a significant 10% quarter over quarter, even slightly more. Again, we want to mention that actually conversion rate stayed on a very conservative level and even slightly went down. Smaller, but still an increase can be observed in consumer finance part as well, where number of applications received grew by 3.2%. Here may be worth mentioning that for the sake of simplicity, we are still not including information about newly acquired markets, but that we'll start doing from first quarter of next year. With that, I'm finishing the operational part and handing over to you, Mario.
Thank you, Modestas. And I also welcome from my side everyone on the call. So if we continue with the slide 7, in terms of financial KPIs, we continue to build on the profitability as evidenced in our adjusted EBITDA, which for the first 9 months of this year stood at 58.5 million euros and was 7 million more than in the respective period last year. Through organic growth and profit retention, we have added more than 18 million euros to the group's equity, even taking into account the dividend payment at the beginning of the year and foreign currency translation effects. The total equity grew by 12 million euros when compared to the beginning of the year. The slight decrease in capitalization ratio to 26.6% at the end of the third quarter is mostly attributable to the integration of Express Credit Group, which adds to the balance sheet both assets and the debt during the third quarter. However, the equity buildup happens throughout the time. So far, we are happy with the integrated group's performance and we look optimistically towards the developing the business further. Moving on to slide 8, with our financial highlights, So, and starting first with revenue development, we are now exceeding the 9-month result as it was last year, and we now stand at 142.5 million euros, with an almost 4 million euro improvement compared to the previous year. The improvement is attributable to the strategic integration of Express Credit Group. We're also seeing an excellent improvement of our adjusted EBITDA figures, which has improved by close to 14% compared to the same period last year, and was largely driven by the lower cost of impairment as a result of higher portfolio quality. The notable improvements in the top line, as well as in the cost of risk section, have resulted in our net profit before Forex reaching 23.5 million euros, which is almost 30% improvement compared to the last year's similar period. Moving on to our three-year bond covenants, we are comfortably meeting required maintenance levels, with interest coverage ratio at 2.4 times instead of required 1.25 times, net leverage at 3.6 times instead of 6 times, and lastly, capitalization ratio at  26.6% instead of required 15%. All three covenants have actually slightly deteriorated compared to the previous quarter, but that was a result of the integration of new businesses that come not only with additional assets, but also more depth to our balance sheet. However, we do expect a further improvement once the full effect of integrated businesses will be assumed. Moving to the slide 9 and continuing with the balance sheet, we can see that our total balance sheet has reached 425.8 million euros as a direct result of integrated businesses in Southern African region, where we assume slightly more than 30 million of combination of net loan portfolio and cash. All this was achieved by still keeping capitalization at a high level. If we speak now about liabilities part, which you can see on the right-hand side of the slide, then not counting in recently issued 50 million euro bond that will be reflected in the end-of-year reporting figures, we can see that altogether we have raised more than 200 million through bond and notes programs, both at the group level as well as country level. For example, local notes programs in Kenya, Botswana, and Namibia. The Mintos liabilities stood at 79.4 million euros. However, it is worth to mention that the funding profile of the group will be changed quite substantially due to recently issued 50 million euro bond that will be reflected in the end of year figures. The new bond was placed mainly across retail and professional investors in the Baltic region through a mix of an exchange offer as well as a new subscription option. The new bond is senior secured. It carries a 13% annual interest rate and is also rated B- with a stable outlook, same as our company is. The proceeds of the new bond will be largely used to repay current liabilities, which would be partial Mintos debt, as well as local Latvian bond. As a result of this bond issue, the maturity profile of our bond liabilities will change in the following way. The closest maturity being year 2026, when the largest 150 million euro bond will mature, and that will be followed by the year 2028, when the newly issued 50 million euro bond will be maturing. Moving to the slide 10 now, the loan portfolio quality remains excellent across the group, with our performing loans for vehicle loan portfolio standing at 93.2% and for consumer loan portfolio at 95.3% respectively. There are no notable changes in the development of both gross or net NPLs, as both remain stable on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Our impairment coverage ratios also remained high and stood at 90% for vehicle business segment and 120% for consumer loan business line. Our total cost of risk for the first 9 months of this year was 30.6 million euros, which is 13% or almost 5 million euros lower amount than it was in the similar period for previous year. This is actually a notable achievement towards portfolio quality, especially given that both our revenue and net loan portfolio have grown at the same time. So with this, I would like to end my part of presentation, hand it back to Modestas.
Thank you, Mari. Now let's move to last slide of the presentation, outlook. Before going into outlook for next 12 months, I'd like to summarize first 9 months results. So here I can only rejoice that we see continuous improving financial figures throughout this year, and the third quarter was no exception. What is even more encouraging that in third quarter we experienced rather significant growth in our net loan portfolio, which will noticeably add in future revenues. And we do believe that we can maintain similar trends going forward. All of that will be achieved primarily through organic growth, not sacrificing portfolio quality and maintaining the same or similar product mix. Also, with our latest successful 50 million bond raise, we now have a very well-diversified funding structure, both when it comes to maturities as well as its sources, and we continue improving that through different local bond programs. And with that put behind us, core focus for the company now will be put on exploring potential equity raise opportunities in the market. With that, I'd like to end our today's presentation and turning back to you, operator, for questions.
Thank you very much, first of all, for your presentation and all the insights. Coming to the Q&A session, you now have the opportunity to place your questions by audio line. Please use the raise hand button on the lower part of your screen. If you have dialed in via phone, please press the star combination *9 followed by *6 to unmute yourself. If you cannot speak freely at the moment, please use the chat box and we will read out the questions for you. So, and we received a first question by audio line. Unfortunately, we cannot see your name. So before asking the questions, kindly be requested to state your name and your
institution. Yes.
Thank you.
Sure, sure. Hi, Marius and Modestas. It's Frank Oliver. Been on these quarterly calls for a while. You can hear me hopefully well.
Yes, we can hear you well.
You can't see me. There must be some technical issues. I just want to elaborate on 3 points, and thank you for the presentation. And the first one is, it's visible that you have expanded your balance sheet by 20%, and part of it has gone into cash. But on the net interest income line, it's basically the same amount last year in the first 9 months. And the reason for that is very clear, that the interest expenses and similar expenses are effectively eating up whatever you earn more on the interest and similar income. Now, do you see a turnaround here in the future? Do you think you can generate more net interest income by expanding the balance sheet, or is effectively the balance sheet expansion a compensation for the shrinking of the average income yield, which I see has gone down from 64.8 to 58.5, which is, of course, a not insignificant number. Actually, it might have gone down to 62.4, depends which line you look at. That's my first question. The second one, of course, I would like to hear from you what your roots are for attracting outside equity. I think that's kind of in that last page on the capital management side. And my last question is regarding your country footprint. If I look at your balance sheet, where it's placed in which country, and I check out against non-EU members and EU members or emerging market members, that emerging market portion is going up. Do you see yourself more and more entering the emerging markets? And of course, that has happened with the Africa merger, and that's really my question. Is there within the European Union, is there a business model available that still allows you to grow, or is it basically keeping the European Union flat and growing outside in these more emerging market style countries? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Frank Oliver, for the questions. And indeed, you've been a frequent guest to our quarterly calls, and we always appreciate your questions. So let me start with the first one on the net interest income and its development, and then I'll basically hand over to Modestas for the remainder of the questions. Actually, we do. There are a few still unabsorbed, let's say, effects, or still several effects that need to be worked out in our P&L. So first of all, Q3 was only the first quarter when we accounted for recently integrated Express Credit P&L and balance sheet. So basically, we only have one quarter out of four versus, let's say, three full quarters of the previous business kind of worked into the P&L. So I think we'll see a nice development in the interest revenue specifically once we're going to have a full year effect of this recently integrated business line. That's one section. As it relates to the interest expense, it is actually worth to mention that we have indeed a sizable cash position, which was partially kept in place given our upcoming bond refinancing or new bond issuance activity, which we spoke on. And actually, this money will be and is already, as of this moment, being put into use to repay the more expensive part of our funding portion. So we actually do expect quite a significant improvement in our interest expense line as a result of this activity. And of course, as of this moment, the growth of the company will be more subtle than it was before. And also, we expect to deploy more profits into let's say, minimizing a debt stack, or maybe keep a lid on it and maybe repaying more expensive portion of it first. So these are several effects. And also one effect worth to mention regarding comparables in year 2020. For the year 2020, for the first 2 months of that year, we still had a Ukrainian business accounted for. And this business was very specific in terms of its high revenue generation capabilities due to its mainly short-term product structure. So let's say it is not a fully fair and like-for-like comparison if we just look at the first 9 months of this and versus previous year. So these are three effects I wanted to highlight.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna hand over to Modestas now.
Thank you, and thank you for your questions, Frank Oliver. So I'll move to the second question regarding the equity raise. Here, truth be told, we're still at early stage. We're looking at potential partners in the market, and once we select them, I do believe that we're gonna announce it publicly as well. So at this moment, we're quite open to different scenarios. Maybe we have our own preferences, which as of this moment we would not like to go kind of to reveal yet. But we'll also look what capital market experts tell. We do believe that as a company, we're now in a good place. We're not in a rush to do it, but we're looking still like next year in kind of exploring it, let's say full scale. So as soon as we're gonna have more tangible agreements reached, we'll share it with the capital markets as well. And regarding non-EU versus EU, yeah, I think very fair observation that let's say EU portfolio was shrinking in overall net loan portfolio, even though looking at standalone, we do see quite sizable growth in Lithuanian business, in Romanian business, but it's still only two markets from 16. So of course, other markets are growing cumulatively at a at a kind of higher numerical amount. Probably that will stay in place for, let's say, short and midterm for sure. We do see that we have a potential to also launch our products in more EU markets. I think we also communicated some 12 months ago that we have entered and kind of freeze issuances in Finland just due to changing lending environment, because there, of course, you need to enter with a slightly kind of calibrated products with lower kind of premium charge to the customer, but that has to come also with a lower cost of financing, which these days it's quite tough to get even through bank financing. So we'll be observing what are the opportunities. We have analyzed few markets which we believe it makes sense, but with current interest rate environment and availability of capital, that's hard to achieve. So and in terms of emerging markets, with a recent acquisition, we do believe that the portion in non-EU markets will grow, but it will not grow kind of too significantly, since short and midterm we still have relatively conservative growth plans, you know, our target from organic growth is 10 to 15 years, for 10 to 15% for the upcoming year.
Yeah. If you allow me just one follow-up question on that, it's very clear that you have been benefiting from a kind of capital markets arbitrage, because to some degree you based in the European Union and you raised your money at a time, the initial bond, I remember that very well, at the time when the portfolio was maybe more like 50-70% EU based, and certainly that has a different risk premium than operating in African or in countries in East Asia. And my only worry would be that your cost of capital have, of course, to reflect the portfolio to some degree. You now have risen the last 50 million at a coupon rate of 13%, and maybe that is the true possibility to fund in the market. I don't know. We are in this bond and we enjoyed going in there, and we thought it's a good deal because we believe that you can control your risk quite well. Nevertheless, it's you know, the adjustment of your cost of capital is probably something, I'm not sure whether that has fully filtered in or whether this is already fully reflective in the business you do in these emerging markets. Not sure you want to say something to that, but that's just a reflection on what you just said.
Sure. I think maybe just a few remarks. So I think firstly, we also need to take into account kind of into the company's profile, like what it was at the moment when we have issued 150 million euros, like this bond you're referring to. So within that time, I do believe that companies kind of capital position strength has increased significantly, and then company now is of, let's say, different maturity. We also proved, I would say, in quite turbulent times, which both firstly COVID time, where we already have bond outstanding, and when we already had portfolio quite diversified in between kind of emerging markets as well as European markets, that we're capable to kind of observe different market turbulences and then still maintain solid profitability. So maybe that's the core comment that we as a company have shown quite stable and significant development across and kind of proving that we do know very well how to do business also in these emerging markets and how to cope with maybe those market-specific risks.
No, I have confidence in that. Thank you very much for the discussion, and best of luck bringing in the Q4 and generating a growth on the net interest income line. look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions. We have not received any further questions in the meantime. So here a kind reminder, if you still have things you would like to discuss, kindly be invited to place your question right now. If you do not have any questions currently, however, at a later stage, the IR department, of course, remains at your disposal and answers your questions afterwards. No, it seems that everything is answered for the moment. There are no further questions incoming. So for now, it leaves me to say thank you very much for dialing in and your interest. And of course, to you, Modestas and Maris, for your presentation and answering the questions we received. I hand over to you for some final remarks before we round off.
Thank you, operator, and thank you everyone once again for dialing in, for finding the time. Thank you for the insightful questions. With that, we're saying goodbye. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.